إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، فهذا هو الدرس السادس من دروسنا في كتاب منهج السالكين وتوضيح الفقه في الدين للشيخ عبد الرحمن ابن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله تعالى. قال المصنف رحمه الله: باب سجود السهو والتلاوة والشكر، وهو مشروع. والكلام ابتدأ حول سجود السهو، وهو أي سجود السهو مشروع إذا زاد الإنسان في صلاة ركوعا أو سجودا أو قياما أو قعودا سهوا، أو نقص شيئا من الأركان يأتي به ويسجد. إذن أصل مشروعية سجود السهو إنما هي في كل نقص أو زيادة تقع في الصلاة، فإذا كان النقص في الأركان أو نقص شيء من الأركان يأتي به ويسجد، يأتي بهذا الركن ويسجد للسهو، أو ترك واجبا من واجبات الصلاة سهوا. إذا ترك الواجب لا يأتي به وإنما يسجد للسهو مباشرة، أو شك في زيادة أو نقصان. كذلك الشك الغالب الذي يقع في الذهن أيضا عليه سجود سهو، وليس مجرد شك طارئ ليس كبيرا وليس ذا وزن. قال: وقد ثبت أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم قام عن التشهد الأول فسجد، أي لم يتشهد ثم وقف قائما ولم يرجع له ثم سجد للسهو. وهذه نقطة مهمة، كثير من الناس يتوهم أن من نسي التشهد الأوسط إذا كان أقرب إلى القيام يظل قائما، وإذا كان أقرب إلى السجود فيرجع ساجدا أو الجلوس عفوا، وهذا خطأ. إنما الصواب أنه إذا كان لم يستتم قائما فإنه يرجع، إذا لم يستتم قائما يرجع، أما إذا استتم قائما فلا يرجع. أما أن يكون أقرب إلى السجود فيرجع، أو إلى الجلوس فيرجع جالسا، أو أقرب إلى القيام فيقوم، هذا غير صحيح. إنما إذا لم يستتم قائما فقط هو الذي يرجع. نعم.
The Shaykh حفظه الله began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending the salah and the salam to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by bearing witness that there is no God or deity worthy of any type of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his final messenger. Amma ba'd. Today we begin page number 30, and it is a new chapter called the chapter of sahw, the sujood of sahw, the sujood of the recitation of the Quran, and the sujood of thanking Allah. We begin by saying that sujood al-sahw is mashru', is deemed needed and legislated if an individual increases in his salah a ruku', a sujood, an extra qiyam or standing up when he should not be, an extra sitting due to forgetfulness. If an individual adds to his salah due to forgetfulness an extra ruku' or an extra sujood or an extra standing or an extra sitting, or he decreases any of the arkan, does not perform any of the arkan, he is to perform that action and then perform salah, the sujood السهو. So if you do an act that increases, you are required to do, if you've increased your ruku', sujood, qiyam, or sitting, you are to make sujood as-sahw. If you decrease something that are from the rukn of salah that we described to you yesterday, from the rukn of salah, you must perform it and then do sujood as-sahw. The Sheikh continued by saying, and if someone leaves off any of the wajib, any wajib act from the acts of salah, he is to perform sahw only. He is just to perform sahw, the prostrations themselves. He does not have to redo that act. If it is from the wajib, not from the rukn. And if a person is not certain if he has increased or he has decreased, he is to assume that he has decreased or increased and he is to perform sujood as-sahw. The Shaykh continues by reading, وَقَدْ ثَبَتْ, and it is authentically established, that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at one time stood up without sitting in between the two raka'at. After he had prayed two raka'at, he did not sit that first tashahud. He just stood up for the third raka'ah right away. And upon standing up, he did not go sit back down when he remembered. He just kept on praying the prayer as usual. And then in the end of the prayer, he made sujood as-sahw. Here the Shaykh paused and gave us an important point. He said, some people think that if you forget to sit and you are closer to standing, that you should go up to standing. Or that if you're closer, still closer to the ground, that you should sit down. This is incorrect. What is incorrect is, if you stand up and you become fully upright, you are to continue your prayer. But if you have not come fully upright, then you are to return and make your tashahud as it would have been.
قال وسلم من ركعتين من الظهر أو العصر ثم ذكروه فتمم وسجد للسهو. وأيضا هذا مما ورد في السنة أن الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام صلى من ركعتين, سلم من ركعتين ثم ذكروه فتمم صلاته, أي أتى بركعتين إضافيتين وسجد للسهو. وهذا في الحديث الذي يسمى حديث ذي اليدين. وكذلك صلى الظهر خمسا فقيل له أزيد في الصلاة؟ فقال وما ذاك؟ قالوا صليت خمسا فسجد سجدتين بعدما سلم. إذا نقص صلاته وذكر يأتي بالناقص ثم يسجد السهو, وإذا زاد في صلاته ثم ذكر لا يصنع شيئا إلا أن يسجد للسهو. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام, إذا شك أحدكم في صلاته فلم يدري كم صلى أثلاثا أم أربعة فليطرح الشك وليبني على ما استيقن ثم يسجد سجدتين قبل أن يسلم, فإن كان صلى خمسا شفعنا صلاته, وإن كان صلى تماما كانتا ترغيما للشيطان. رواه أحمد ومسلم. إذن قد يشك الإنسان المسلم في السجود في صلاته, هل صلى ثلاثا أم أربعا, هل صلى واحدة أم اثنتين, فليطرح الشك وليبني على ما استيقن, لأن الشك في الزائد إذن يبني على الأقل. ثم يسجد سجدتين قبل أن يسلم, فإن كان صلى خمسا يعني كان حقيقة صلى أربعا والركعة الزائدة خمسا, تكون السجدتان سهو شفعنا صلاته, يعني كأنما أكمل نقصه. وإن كان صلى تماما يعني صلى فعلا أربع ركعات من غير نقص, كانت سجدتان سهو ترغيما للشيطان, ترغيما يعني إذلالا. رواه أحمد ومسلم. قال وله أن يسجد قبل السلام أو بعده, وهذا هو الراجح. وبعض أهل العلم يقول إذا نقص من صلاته يسجد قبل التسليم, وإذا زاد يسجد بعده. والذي أراه أن الأفضل أن يكون السجود جائزا على الوجهين قبل الصلاة وبعدها، والله أعلم.
قبل السجود
والتسليم.
The Sheikh continued by reading, if a person, one time the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed a 4-rak'ah prayer by only praying it in 2 rak'ah, meaning that it was a dhuhr or a asr prayer and he prayed only 2 rak'ah and then he said a salam. And then he was asked, or he was reminded, why he had done so. So he stood up, prayed the 2 rak'ah that he had not prayed originally, and made sujood as-sahw. And also, it is narrated authentically that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed once salatul dhuhr 5 rak'ah. And it was said to him, has this prayer been increased in number? He said, why do you say this? They said, because you have prayed 5 rak'ah, O Messenger of Allah, so he prostrated 2 prostrations. He made sujood as-sahw after he had done, after he had already ended the prayer. So he just fell into the prostration of sujood as-sahw. And the hadith is agreed upon. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if any of you is in doubt about his salah, whether how many rak'ahs he has prayed, whether they are 3 or 4 in number, let him throw away the doubt by building upon what he is certain of. Here the Sheikh paused and explained, what you are certain of is the lowest amount of rak'ah. So if you don't know if it was 3 or 4, the lower amount is 3, so you build upon the 3, meaning you would add a 4th, because you're not certain. So you build upon the lowest number. ثُمَّ يَسْجُدْ, then the person should make, after he stands up and completes that prayer, he should stand up and do 2 prostrations before he says the salam. فَإِنْ كَانَ, and the Rasul ﷺ continues by saying, if a person has increased from 4 to 5 prostrations, and he is not sure, then he is to make 2 sujood sahu, and it would be, these would be weapons against the shaitan. They would be something that would be of a harm to the shaitan. So therefore the Rasul, and that hadith is narrated by Ahmad and Muslim. So that shows you the importance of sujood as-sahw, that you stand up, complete your prayer, if you are not sure, and then you make the sujood of as-sahw. And here the Shaykh gives us an important point by saying, the sujood of sahw can be done before or after, although some of the scholars have stated only before, others have stated only after. What is closer to his understanding of the truth is that the sujood can be done before you say as-salam, or after you say as-salam.
قال وسن للقارئ والمستمع إذا تلا آية سجدة أن يسجد في الصلاة أو خارجها سجدة واحدة. من السنة للقارئ للقرآن أو المستمع لمن يقرأ القرآن إذا تلا أو سمع آية فيها سجدة أي أمر بالسجود أن يسجد سواء في الصلاة أو خارجها سجدة واحدة. وهنا تنبيهات. التنبيه الأول أن سجود التلاوة سنة لا واجب. الشيء الثاني أنه لا يبدل من سجود التلاوة بشيء، لأن بعض أهل العلم يقول إذا لم يتيسر له أن يسجد للتلاوة يسبح، يقول سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر، فهذا لا أصل في السنة. الشيء الثالث أن سجود التلاوة من غير تكبير ولا تسليم. الشيء الرابع أن سجود التلاوة في غير الصلاة لا يشترط له استقبال القبلة ولا الطهارة. الشيء الخامس أن سجود التلاوة إمامه هو التالي سواء كان في الصلاة أم في خارج الصلاة، فالتالي يسجد، فإذا رآه السامعون سجدوا. نعم.
The Sheikh continues, Hafizahullah, with the second part of the chapter, which is the sujood of tilawa. When you are reciting the Quran, in certain surahs there will be an ayah that in it there is an order to prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here the Sheikh Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah, he says, it is sunnah for the reciter or the one listening to the recitation of the Quran that when an ayah of sujood is read, that it is sunnah for them to fall into prostration, whether in salah or outside salah, a single prostration, just one prostration. Here the Sheikh paused and gave us five important points in regards to making the sujood of tilawa. Here are some of the important points you should know. It is sunnah and not wajib. It doesn't have to be done. It is sunnah but not wajib. It is sunnah and not wajib. Second, it cannot be done by any other means. So if you don't have the ability to make sujood, you can't say, okay, I'll make tasbih this many times and it will equal it. So it has to be a sujood. Third, there is no takbir for it. You don't say Allahu Akbar and go into the sujood. Fourth, there is no requirement to have tahara or to be facing the qibla. If you are obviously outside salah, obviously. Third is takbir. Number four, obviously if you're outside salah, you do not have to be facing the qibla or be or have wudu. Number five, that the person who recited the ayah, if it is a group of people, he is the one who is to fall into prostration without saying takbir, and those around him are to follow his example. And there is no salam at the end of it. Later we will answer the questions, inshallah. I will repeat the five quickly. It is sunnah, not wajib. It cannot be expiated by other deeds like tasbih. It must be the sujood. There is no takbir for it. There is no requirement of tahara or facing the qibla unless you're obviously in salah. And the person who recites it, the ayah, he is the one who leads the people in the prostration.
قال وكذلك إذا تجددت له نعمة أو اندفع عنه نقمة سجد لله شكرا. وحكم سجود الشكر كسجود التلاوة، أي أنه سنة وليس بواجب أولا، والأمر الثاني أنه لا يجب فيه استقبال قبلة ولا طهارة ولا تكبير ولا تسليم، إنما هو مجرد سجدة. إذن سجود الشكر هو أداء لسجدة يؤديها المسلم شكرا لله على ما أكرمه الله تعالى من نعمة أو ما دفع عنه من نقمة.
The Sheikh continues with the chapter by saying, if a person has been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and has been shown grace or something that he was in a moment of stress and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused for it to be relieved, he is to make sujood shukr, a sujood of thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the sujood of shukr has the same principles that are for the sujood of tilawa, meaning that it is sunnah and not wajib, that there is no takbir for it, that there is no requirement of tahara or qibla needed.
قال باب مفسدات الصلاة ومكروهاتها. قال تبطل الصلاة بترك ركن أو شرط وهو يقدر عليه يعني إذا ترك الركن أو الشرط مع عدم القدرة فلا تبطل الصلاة كالقيام، القيام ركن، لكن من لم يقدر على القيام لا تبطل صلاته عمدا أو سهوا أو جهلا، سواء كان ترك هذا الركن تعمدا أو سهوا أو جهلا فإنه يبطل أو تبطل الصلاة بهذا الترك. قال وبترك واجب عمدا، وهذا فيه نظر، إذا قلنا بأن ترك الواجب عمدا يبطل الصلاة فإنه يتساوى مع الركن والشرط، وهذا غلط، وإنما ترك الواجب يوقع بالإثم ولا يبطل الصلاة. ونحن فرقنا بين الركن والشرط وبين الواجب، ذكرنا هذا بالتفصيل. قال وبالكلام عمدا وبالقهقه، الكلام عمدا يبطل الصلاة لأنه خروج عنها، والقهقه الضحك الكثير البين، وبالحركة الكثيرة عرفا المتوالية لغير ضرورة، الحركة الكثيرة التي تكون مبطلة للصلاة هي الحركة التي إذا نظر الشخص إلى صاحبها ظن أنه لا يصلي، وقد سمعنا عن أناس أنهم إذا صلوا أخرجوا المال من جيوبهم وكانوا يعدونه، هذه ليست صلاة، هذه ليست صلاة. قال لأنه في الأول ترك ما لا تتم العبادة إلا به وهي الأركان والشروط، وبالأخيرات فعل ما ينهى عنه فيها وهي الكلام عمدا والقهقه والحركة الكثيرة.
The Sheikh continued by saying, "It is a new chapter now that we will be discussing, that the author states the chapter of the things that deem one salah invalid, or the things that are makruh in salah. First, the things that cause your prayer not to be accepted by Allah are: number one, that you leave out a requirement or a shart, a rukn or a shart, that you do not do a rukn or a shart when you have the ability to do it." Meaning, the Sheikh paused, if you don't have the ability to perform a rukn or a shart, for example, you have to stand up in prayer, but if you don't have the ability to stand up in prayer, therefore that rukn and shart, if you do not do it, you will not lose your prayer, as long as you have the ability to do it. Leaving off a rukn or a shart when you have the ability to perform it, whether knowingly or unknowingly, or due to ignorance of it, at that time you're praying it, causes your salah to be invalid. He continues, the author continues by saying, and if a person leaves off performing a wajib on purpose, his salah is also deemed invalid. Here the Sheikh stopped and said, we need to correct this statement, because if this was to be taken as the proper position, that would make a wajib equal to a rukn, and that is not possible. So therefore, the person who does not perform a wajib purposefully, his salah is valid, but he will get the sin of not performing the wajib. And we have discussed with you what a wajib is, what a rukn is, and what a shart is in detail. And from the things that cause your salah to be invalid is speaking on purpose in it. Speaking on purpose. Or laughing where sound is emitted. Or excessive movement. Here the Sheikh pauses and states, what is excessive movement? Excessive movement is that when you are in prayer, you are moving about in a manner that someone who watches you would not think you are praying. That if someone was looking at you and seeing how you are acting, he would not think that you are in your prayer. And the Sheikh says, we have seen, or it has been shown, that there are certain people, that there was a person who in his salah had his wallet out, and he was counting his money. So therefore, this is something that would cause his prayer to be invalid. The Sheikh continues by saying, a person who does not establish certain things, meaning does not establish the rukn or the shart, or does not do the wajibat, he is a person who has not completely performed the ibadah, and therefore the ibadah is not accepted. While the person who increases with laughter, with speech, with excessive movement, he has not also performed the ibadah, and therefore it is not accepted.
قال ويكره الالتفات في الصلاة لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سئل عن الالتفات في الصلاة فقال هو اختلاس يختلسه الشيطان من صلاة العبد رواه البخاري. الالتفات هو الإزاحة بالرأس قليلا كان ينظر هكذا وهكذا هذا منهي عنه أن ينظر هكذا وهكذا برأسه وعينيه فقد سئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ذلك فقال هو اختلاس يختلسه الشيطان من صلاة العبد أي كأنما هو سرقة يسرق الشيطان من صلاة العبد ما ينقصه أو ما ينقصه منها. هذا بالنسبة للالتفات. ولكن الأصل في النظر في الصلاة أن يكون موضع السجود ولكن قد ورد في السنة أن الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام كان يلحظ أحيانا يمنة ويسرى بطرف عينيه لا دون أن يلتفت برأسه وهذا في بعض الأحيان النادرة وذلك يكون لحاجة ولسبب شرعي أما بغير حاجة وسبب شرعي فلا يجوز ذلك مطلقا. قال ويكره العبث أي اللهو وكثرة التصرفات بغير وجه ووضع اليد على الخاصرة إما بوضع اليدين معا على الخاصرة وإما بوضع اليد على اليد على الخاصرة سواء شمالا أو يمينا هذا كله منهي عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال وتشبيك الأصابع لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا خرج أحدكم إلى المسجد لا يريد إلا الصلاة فلا يشبكن بين أصابعه فكيف إذا كان الأمر في الصلاة نفسها فهو أشد. وكذلك فرقعتها فرقعة الأصابع بهذا الشكل في الصلاة هذا لا يجوز أيضا. وعندما رأى ابن عباس رجلا يفرقع أصابعه في الصلاة دعا عليه وقال لا أم لك أتفرقع أصابعك في الصلاة وأن يجلس فيها مقعيا كإقعاء الكلب. نقف هنا. لا لا.
The Sheikh continued حفظه الله by explaining to us some of the things that are makruh, some of the things that are hated or not preferred are turning and looking about you, looking around you. And this looking around you, it means that your actual head turns, not just your eyes, not your eyes wandering, but your head turns right or left. And this is why the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was asked about a person who turns and looks right and left in a salah, he said it is a theft that the shaitan steals from one of you parts of his salah. The shaitan steals from you parts of your salah, so it is considered a theft from you by the shaitan. He takes from you rightful reward that you should be receiving, but because of your lack of attention, it is taken away from you. And the hadith is narrated in Bukhari. Here, the Sheikh pauses and says, in salah, a person's eyes are to be fixed to the place of his sujood. But there are authentic narrations that have shown that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at one point or another in some time he had looked with his eye to the right and the left in his salah. He had looked to see something that was being done and it was for a valid religious excuse and there was purpose for it. But for you and I,
the place of sujood, what should be done and what should be upheld, is that our eyes are to be fixed towards the place of sujood. Also, from the things that are makruh, excessive movement with your hands and so forth, scratching yourself often, things like that. Also, placing your hands on your hips, whether each hand on each side of your hip or both hands on one hip. Also, joining your fingers as such in salah, it is makruh. And especially when we know that the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, if you are intending to come to the masjid to pray, do not let any of you join his fingers together. Meaning that you're not even in prayer, and it's something you are not permitted to do if you are on your way to pray. So how can a person think that in the prayer itself you can join your fingers as such? Therefore, this is something not permitted. Also, cracking one's fingers or knuckles, bringing the sound out of your knuckles by ringing them or ringing your fingers together, this is something that is not permitted in salah. It is something that is makruh. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu saw a person doing this, and he made dua against him and by questioning how a person could do this while he is in the state of salah. So that is something that is not to be done.
قال وأن يجلس فيها مقعيا كإقعاء الكلب أي يكره ذلك. نقول الإقعاء إقعاءان، الإقعاء الأول هو المنهي عنه وهو ما يشبه إقعاء الكلب، وهو أن يفضي مقعدته على الأرض ثم ينصب قدميه بينهما، القدمان هكذا والمقعدة في الوسط، هذا منهي عنه وهو ما يسمى بإقعاء الكلب. وهناك إقعاء آخر وهو سنة، وهو نصب القدمين والجلوس عليهما، نصب القدمين والجلوس عليهما بين السجدتين، هذا إقعاء مسنون يفعل أحيانا ولا يكون إلا بين السجدتين. قال وأن يستقبل ما يلهيه، أيضا يكره أن يستقبل ما يلهيه. الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام قال عائشة أميطي عنا قرامك لما رأى الستارة التي فيها ألوان، قال فإنها ألهتني آنفا عن صلاتي. أو يدخلها وقلبه مشتغل بمدافعة الأخبثين، يعني يدافع بوله وغائطة، محصور يريد أن يتخلى ومع ذلك يدخل الصلاة، هذا أيضا منهي عنه. أو بحضرة الطعام، أن يصلي وهو يفكر، حضرة الطعام، رائحة الطعام لذيذة متى أنتهي من الصلاة، هذا أيضا لا يجوز. كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا صلاة بحضرة طعام ولا وهو يدافعه الأخبثان، متفق عليه. ونهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يفترس الرجل ذراعيه في السجود، أن يسجد ويجعل يديه في السجود هكذا، الأصل في اليدين الرفع عند المرفق، لكن هو يسجد ويجعل المرفق والساعد كله مرتبطا أو ملتصقا بالأرض، هذا افتراش منهي عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
The Sheikh continues with the things that are makruh in one salah. From them is to be in the state of prostration, or to be in your salah in the form or in the manner that a dog lies down or sits down. And here the Sheikh pauses and gives us two examples. The first, one type of sitting like a dog, it is totally prohibited or should not be done. It is makruh in the salah. And that is where a person, the first is where the person sits
and his feet are not beneath him. So it would be sitting, his legs are on either side, and his body itself is in the middle. Can you visualize it? Nah, hakada. Nah. Sitting where the body touches the ground and there are no feet under it. As the dog sits where his buttocks is right on the ground and there's his feet are pulled away from his body. This is something that is not permitted. The second type, it is permitted, where the person sits on his, places his weight on his heels with his feet planted underneath him in the ground. Now, hakala. This is the way that would be permitted. So his feet are planted in the ground, and he sits on top of, meaning he's resting on the balls of his foot, and his body weight is on top of the on top of his feet. So that is one type that is permitted. The other one that we showed you that was demonstrated, where the body touches touching the ground, and there is no feet in between the buttocks of the person and the ground itself. We continue, the shaykh continues, and that the person should not be turning towards or thinking about things that are distracting him in salah. And this is why we see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam one time, he came home and he was praying, and he ordered Aisha radiallahu anha to remove a curtain that she had, because it had certain colors and patterns that caused his sight or his attention to dissipate from his prayer. So he ordered that it be taken down. Also, that the person should free himself from wanting to use the restroom and from hunger before he enters salah, so that he is not distracted by smelling food or by wanting to go to the bathroom as immediately after the prayer. And this is, there is an authentic hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says a person should not pray if he is in need to go to the bathroom or if he is in need to eat. And we see also Rasulullah sallallahu forbade the person or Muslims to be in prostration and have their elbows touching the ground when they are in sujood. To have their elbows touching the ground when they are in sujood. Al-asl, what is prefer, what should be done is that the forearm and the elbow are far from the ground. Only the palm is touching the ground.
باب صلاة التطوع. والتطوع هو غير الفريضة أو الزائد على الفريضة. وأكدها أي أكد صلوات التطوع صلاة الكسوف. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فعلها وأمر بها. وتصلى على صفة حديث عائشة أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جهر في صلاة الكسوف في قراءته فصلى 4 ركعات في ركعتين و4 سجدات متفق عليه. هنا تنبيهان. التنبيه الأول أن صلاة الكسوف واجبة وليست سنة مؤكدة، فالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أمر بها وحض عليها، فالأصل في ذلك الوجوب، وقد ذهب بعض أهل العلم إلى ذلك كالإمام ابن خزيمة والإمام أبي عوانة. وأما قوله فصلى 4 ركعات في ركعتين، المقصود 4 ركوعات في ركعتين، فكل ركعة فيها ركوعان، تقرأ ثم تركع ثم ترفع ثم تقرأ ثم تركع ثم ترفع ثم تسجد. إذن صلاة الكسوف هي ركعتان، كل ركعة فيها ركوعان، وكل ركعة فيها سجدتان. السجدة لم يتغير عليها شيء، وإنما وقع التغير على إيش؟ على الركوع بإضافة ركوع إضافي. أما الفائدة الثالثة أن صلاة الكسوف تصلى للكسوف والخسوف، لكسوف الشمس وخسوف القمر، كل ذلك جائز ولا فرق بين هذه وذلك. الشيء الرابع أن الأصل استمرار الصلاة حتى ينجلي الكسوف أو الخسوف، حتى لو استمر الساعات. لذلك، وهذا هو الشيء الخامس، يستحب أن تكون الصلاة بالآيات السور الكبيرة كالبقرة وغيرها ويستمر في ذلك حتى ينجلي هذا الكسوف أو ذاك، والله أعلم.
The Sheikh begins now a new chapter which is voluntary prayer or salat at-tatawwu. Voluntary prayers. The first of these voluntary prayers is salat al-kusuf, the eclipse prayer. And this is from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he ordered the prayer to be done. He himself performed it. And it has been described in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, which is agreed upon, where she says that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam led a loud prayer, meaning he recited in a loud voice, at the time of kusuf, salatul kusuf. He prayed salatul kusuf, and he prayed two raka'at prayer that had in it four bowings and four sujood. It had in it four bowings and four sujood. And the hadith is muttafaqun alayh. Here the Sheikh paused and gave us five important points. He gave us a few important points. First, that the salatul kusuf, it was something that should not be deemed sunnah muakkada. In fact, it is wajib. It is wajib, must be performed, or compulsory. Second, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed this two prostration prayer with four bowings, or this two rak'ah prayer with four bowings. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he read the Fatiha in the first rak'ah, and then he read a long period of time from the Qur'an, and then he went into ruku'ah. And he remained in it for a long period of time, and then he said, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. And then once again he began reciting the Qur'an. And he read for a long extended period of time, and then he said, Allahu Akbar, and went in ruku'ah. And then he said, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. And then finally after he went into sujood. So each rak'ah had two standing up, had two ruku' and had two sujood. It had two standing, two ruku' and two sujood. And then he stood up from his sujood and did the same manner in the second set or the second rak'ah. So that's point number two, the way the prayer is to be prayed. Number three is that the prayer is to be done whether the eclipse is of the sun or of the moon. Number four is that the salah is to be full, the full length of the eclipse. You don't just pray for the 5 minutes of the beginning of the eclipse or near the end. You pray from the beginning. The prayer should be long enough to cover from the beginning to the end, even if it goes on for hours. And this brings us to point number five, that the Rasul ﷺ, when he led the prayer, he read with long surahs. Al-Baqarah, Al-Imran, and things of this nature are to be recited in this prayer. No.
قال وصلاة الوتر سنة مؤكدة داوم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عليه حضرا وسفرا وحث الناس عليه وأقله ركعة وأكثره 11 ووقته من صلاة العشاء إلى طلوع الفجر والأفضل أن يكون آخر صلاته كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اجعلوا آخر صلاتكم بالليل وترا متفق عليه وقال من خاف أن لا يقوم من آخر الليل فليوتر أوله ومن طمع أن يقوم آخره فليوتر آخر الليل فإن صلاة آخر الليل مشهودة وذلك أفضل رواه مسلم. الفائدة الأولى أن صلاة الوتر ليست واجبا وقد ذهب إلى وجوبها بعض أهل العلم وهذا غير صحيح لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لذلك الأعرابي الذي قال في أنه يصلي خمسا ولا يزيد عليهم قال أفلح إن صدق والدليل الآخر أن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام كان يصلي الوتر وهو على دابته، ولو كانت واجبة لما جاز صلاتها من جلوس. الأمر الثالث أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يترك صلاة الوتر حضرا ولا سفرا، وهذا دليل على تأكيدها ولزوم هذا التأكيد، ولكن هذا التأكيد لا يصل بها إلى درجة الواجب. الأمر الثالث أن أكثر رضي الله تعالى عنها تقول: ما زاد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في رمضان ولا في غيره على 11 ركعة. الفائدة الرابعة أن نقول: الأصل في هذه الصلاة أنها 2 2 أي ركعتان ركعتان، لقوله عليه الصلاة والسلام: صلاة الليل والنهار مثنى مثنى. ومع ذلك فقد ورد عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في رمضان أنه صلى الليل أي قيام الليل ب9 ركعات دون أي تشهد، وورد عنه أنه صلىها 2 2، وورد عنه أنه صلىها 4 4. فكل ذلك جائز في السنة في صلاة رمضان أو في قيام رمضان. الفائدة الخامسة أن يقال بأن قيام الليل وقيام رمضان وصلاة التراويح والتهجد كلها شيء واحد، كلها شيء واحد. الفائدة السادسة أن يقال بأن ما يتوهمه الناس أو بعض الناس من أن التهجد لا يكون إلا بعد نوم فهذا خطأ. التهجد صلاة الليل سواء كانت بعد النوم أم قبل النوم. الفائدة السابعة أنه لا وتران في ليلة كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: إنسان أوتر في أول الليل خلاص هذا أنهى صلاته، لا يجوز أن يصلي وترا آخر. الفائدة الثامنة أن من فاتته الوتر يصليها حيث ذكرها، من نام عن صلاة الوتر فليصليها إذا استيقظ كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام سواء في ليل أو في نهار. فائدة تاسعة، فائدة تاسعة أن يقال بأن هنالك فرقا بين من فاتته صلاة الليل كاملة وبين من فاتته الوتر، فمن فاتته صلاة الليل كاملة يصلي من النهار 12 ركعة، وأما من فاته الوتر فقط فيصلي ما فاته من الوتر وترا. الفائدة العاشرة أن نقول بأن من صلى الوتر وختم صلاته ثم أيقظه الله عز وجل في آخر الليل أو في أي وقت منه ورغب أن يصلي فله أن يصلي ركعتين، وردت بهما السنة وحض عليهما رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Sheikh continued by saying: and the salah of witr, it is sunnah mu'akkada. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practiced it constantly, whether in a state of travel or whether he remained in his city. And he also emphasized its importance to the people around him. The lowest amount of prayer that can be done for witr is a single rak'ah, just praying one rak'ah. And the most that should be prayed are 11. And it is to be prayed after the prayer of Isha all the way until the sun rises. And what is best is that it should be done at the end of your daily prayers, at the end of the prayers of your night, of the day and night, meaning if you're going to pray tahajjud, it should be done after. As was stated by the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم, اجعلوا, make your last prayer of the night or of the day your witr, and the hadith is agreed upon. And also we see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, the one who is afraid that he will not wake up in the middle of the night or at the end of the night, let him pray his witr. Let him pray his witr before he goes to sleep. And the one who thinks or is knows or has a feeling that he will awake, let him wait and not pray his witr until the end of the night. For the prayer at the end of the night is witnessed, meaning by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is what is best. And that hadith is narrated by Imam Muslim. Here the Shaykh gave us 10 important points about Salatul Witr. First, Salatul Witr is sunnah mu'akkada and not wajib. And the reason is that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was approached by a Bedouin And the Bedouin told him, all I will pray are the five daily prayers, and I won't pray anything other than this. The Rasulullah ﷺ said, if he does what he has just said, nothing will harm him, he will attain success. Therefore, if witr was from the prayers, the Rasulullah ﷺ would have told him, pray witr as well. Number two is another proof that witr, it is not wajib, is that we see that the Rasulullah ﷺ used to pray witr while on the back of his camel, on his mount. And as we have discussed with you, that when the Rasulullah ﷺ prayed a compulsory prayer, he would always descend and pray it on the ground. Number three, although the Rasulullah ﷺ used to pray witr, whether in his city or travel, this is not proof to make the deed compulsory, because there are other things that he used to do, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Number four is that the maximum amount of raka'at for Salatul Witr is 11. And this is due to the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, where she said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that whether he was in Ramadan or outside Ramadan, he would never increase more than 11 prostrations. Also, number four, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam emphasized that these types of prayers, voluntary prayers, are to be done two by two. Number six is that if a person is going to wake up and he's going to pray his nightly prayer, tahajjud does not have to be after falling asleep and then waking up. You can pray them right after you have prayed Salatul Isha, from the beginning of Salatul Isha, time after you prayed Isha, until the dawn. It is considered nightly or night prayers or tahajjud or so forth. Number seven, that there should not be two witr prayed in one night. So if you pray witr in the beginning of the night, and you wake up and you pray again, you don't pray witr again. The Shaykh continued by saying, number eight, that you pray witr when you remember it. So if you had fallen asleep and you had forgotten to pray witr, and it's your regular habit to pray witr, once you wake, or once you remember that you had not prayed witr, you pray witr, whether day has arrived or not. Whether you are still in that night or it is the next morning, you may pray your witr. Number nine, that if you miss your night prayers that you are regularly accustomed to due to tiredness or sleep, that when you wake up, you may catch them up the next morning and you would pray the 12 raka'at and you would not do the witr. But if you had prayed your night prayers and did not pray witr, you would wake up and you would pray your witr the next morning. So if you make up your night prayers the next day, you don't pray witr with them. But if you had prayed the night prayers and you had not prayed witr and you wake up the next day, you just pray the witr. If you are accustomed to praying your nightly prayers every night and then you fell asleep one night and you didn't pray your 10 or 8 or 12 rak'ah, whatever you have been accustomed to praying, the next morning you can pray them throughout the day. Before Salatul Dhuhr time, you can pray your nightly prayer, and you do not pray the witr for it. But if you have prayed your night prayer and you did not pray the witr, the next morning you just pray the witr, and that would suffice you and be enough. Number 10, if you pray your witr and then you fall asleep and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deems it that you wake up once again in the middle of the night, and you are awake and you wish to pray and you have already prayed witr, there is a sunnah that the Rasulullah ﷺ has taught that you pray two raka'at even after you have done your witr, and that would be the most successful. If you wake up after you have already prayed your witr and Allah writes for you that you wake up the next after a couple of hours during the night, you can pray two raka'ah, and you would not pray witr again, obviously. Now,
نعم قال وصلاة الاستسقاء سنة إذا اضطر الناس لفقد الماء وتفعل كصلاة العيد في الصحراء ويخرج إليها متخشعا متذللا أو يخرج إليها متخشعا متذللا متضرعا فيصلي ركعتين ثم يخطب خطبة واحدة يكثر فيها الاستغفار وقراءة الآيات التي فيها الأمر به ويلح في الدعاء ولا يصبت الإجابة. صلاة الاستسقاء سنة وذلك عندما يصيب الناس القحط وقلة المطر ويتأثر الناس بذلك وتفعل كصلاة العيد في الصحراء. ليس المقصود في الصحراء الغوص داخل الصحراء، ولكن المقصود في الصحراء خارج البنيان فيما لا يشق على المسلمين في خلاء من الأرض، ويخرج إليها متخشعا متذللا متضرعا لأنه بحاجة إلى الله، والعبد دائما بحاجة إلى الله، لكن تشتد حاجته فيجب أن يشتد تضرعه، فيصلي ركعتين ثم يخطب خطبة واحدة لا أكثر، يكثر فيها الاستغفار وقراءة الآيات التي فيها الأمر به، ويلح في الدعاء لأن الله عز وجل يحب الإلحاح في الدعاء، لأنه شار إلى صلاح العباد وصلتهم برب العباد. ولا يستبطئ الإجابة إذا تأخر نزول المطر بعد الاستسقاء، لا يقول لم يستجب الله لنا، ولكن ليصبر، والله عز وجل ينصره ويمطرهم. نعم، لم يصح في السنة تكرار صلاة الاستسقاء، ولم يصح في السنة تكرار صلاة الاستسقاء، وإنما تفعل مرة. قال: وينبغي قبل الخروج إليها فعل الأسباب التي تدفع الشر وتنذر الرحمة، كالاستغفار والتوبة والخروج من المظالم والإحسان إلى الخلق وغيرها من الأسباب التي جعلها الله جالبة للرحمة دافعة للنقمة. ذلكم أن التقرب إلى الله يجب أن يسبقه توبة وصدق وإخلاص لله عز وجل، حتى لا يكون العبد داعيا ربه وهو متلبس بشيء من المظالم والذنوب والمعاصي، وإنما الأصل أن يطهر نفسه من ذلك ثم يقبل على ربه تبارك وتعالى خاشعا متذللا وخاضعا وراغبا.
The Sheikh continued by saying, as for the prayer of al-istisqa, which is asking Allah for rain, it is sunnah when the people are in need of water or are in need of rain. And it is to be done in the same manner that Salatul Eid is done, meaning outside populated regions. You go out into the fringes of the city, and it is to be done in an open space where the people can gather, in the same places that you would do Salatul Eid and so forth. And the people, when they go to the prayer, they are to go to it in khushu'a, with humility, and with humbleness, and turning to Allah, wanting reward from Him. The Imam is to lead and to pray 2 rak'ah, and after, he is to make a khutbah, a single khutbah, not like Salatul Jumu'ah 2, a single khutbah. And he is to increase in that khutbah many, many times al-istighfar, making and asking Allah for forgiveness and reciting the verses that order people to turn to Allah and ask for forgiveness. And he is to make ilhah, he is to be constantly asking and making dua, saying it over and over and over to Allah, making dua with humbleness, humility, crying out to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they are not answered immediately or soon after they make it, they are not to say, we were not heard or we were not answered. It is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَنْبَغِي, and it is important before the people go out to make the dua and to be led in this prayer, that they are to ensure that the prayer is to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing certain things before. Of these is that they are to make personal istighfar, and they are to make their tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they had oppressed someone, they should free themselves from this oppression, and they should have ihsan to others of creation. They should make ihsan, be righteous in their deeds, be on top of their prayers and so forth, and many of the other things that are good for a Muslim to uphold and maintain. All of these are reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may remove or may allow rain to descend upon them. The Sheikh gives this important point. I asked him, can the prayer be repeated? Do they repeat it every day or every other day? He says the prayer, according to the sunnah, it is to be done one time. It is to be done one time.
قال وأوقات النهي عن النوافل المطلقة أي التطوع من الفجر إلى أن ترتفع الشمس قيد رمح، ومن صلاة العصر إلى الغروب، ومن قيام الشمس في كبد السماء إلى أن تزول. هنا ثلاث تنبيهات. التنبيه الأول أن قول بعض أهل العلم بجواز صلاة ذوات الأسباب في أوقات النهي لا دليل عليه. الشيء الثاني أن النهي عن صلاة العصر، أن النهي عن الصلاة من بعد صلاة العصر إلى الغروب مقيد، مقيد بما إذا كانت الشمس صفراء وتكاد تغرب، فإنها تغرب بين قرني شيطان كما أخبر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. أما إذا كان ذلك قبل اصفرار الشمس وفي حالة بياضها فذلك جائز. الشيء الثالث أن تحية المسجد تستثنى من هذا النهي كله، فيجوز أن تصلى في أي وقت، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمر من جلس قبل أن يصلي التحية أمره أن يقوم وأن يصلي، مع أن هذا الوقت زمانا ومكانا منهي عن الصلاة فيه، فدل ذلك أن تحية المسجد مستثنى بالنص، أما غيرها فلا. أما قوله أن ترتفع الشمس قيد رمح أي بمقدار رمح، قيد رمح بمقدار رمح يعني نحو متر أو أكثر بقليل، ومن قيام الشمس في كبد السماء إلى أن تزول. الشمس عندما تكون في وسط السماء هذا منهي عنه، إلى أن تزول، إلى أن تبدأ بالحركة بجهة الغرب، وفي هذا القدر كفاية. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله.
The times when salah should not be performed, meaning voluntary salah should not be performed. These are the times. From salatul fajr until the sun rises to what would equal a meter above the horizon. What would be observed as being a meter above the horizon. Or the size of a bow, which is about the size of a meter, the Sheikh explained. So you would not pray voluntary prayers until after the fajr, after the sun breaks the horizon, to until it reaches a meter above the horizon. Number two, that the salah is not to be performed, voluntary salah, after al-asr until maghrib. And the salah should not be performed from the time that the sun reaches halfway to noon until noon. Before noon, after it rises, once it reaches the halfway distance from sunrise to noon, when it reaches halfway, it is still turning to the position of its zenith, the prayer from that half distance to until noon, or a little after, it is not to be prayed in that time. To right before Dhuhr. And the Sheikh gives us that no prayer of the voluntary, no voluntary prayer should be performed in these times. That's the first important point. He also says that in regards to the salah, to the salah of Asr, you are not to pray after the Asr has arrived. Once the sun begins to yellow, instead of its brightness, it begins to diminish in its brightness, you are not to be praying at that time. For the Rasulullah ﷺ says that the sun in that time, it is in between the horns of the shaitan. And third, that tahiyyatul masjid is permitted in any time of the day. Tahiyyatul masjid, because there is the authentic hadith where the Rasulullah ﷺ made it, that even in the times when there is these restrictions, or Jumu'ah, when you are not to be praying and you are to be listening, he ordered the person to stand up and to pray the tahiyyah before sitting down. So that means any time Tahiyyatul Masjid must be prayed upon entering it. And this is where the Sheikh concluded with us at the moment. If there are any questions, do you understand the thing about the three positions of the sun?
Once it breaks, you have to wait until it is a meter in the sky. When it reaches high noon, this is dhuhr. When the sun from here to here, when it is in between, from here to here, no prayer. Until it reaches the dhuhr. Here is the asr. This is the position of after asr to maghrib. You are permitted to pray. You are permitted to pray up to this position, where the sun begins to lose its color. It begins to become, loses its hue, or it yellows. It's not as bright, or it becomes orange. Instead of being bright. So once the sun reaches this position until Maghrib, you are not to pray your Salah. No, you pray Salah Salah. You can't pray voluntary. We're talking about a Tatawwa, a voluntary prayer. After this period. But when it's Asr to here, you can still continue your prayer. And no, a little bit more. No. But they're not the full extended here.
لو استمعوا في مصلى يعني مكان الاستجناء أي مكان يعني يخصص الصلاة وقت معين يستمعون فيه مرة في الأسبوع شيء هل نستجم
لا لا
ذكر
المسجد في المكان الذي يخصص الصلاة
The Sheikh answers by saying the question that is being asked, if there is a place that is used as a multi-purpose room where sometimes it's rented out and people, or it's allowed that people pray in it at specific occasions or at certain times, not the regular five prayers or the intervals that are known to Muslims, is Tahiyyatul Masjid required? The Sheikh says no. Tahiyyatul Masjid is required for a masjid where the prayers are prayed five times a day. This is where you would be required to pray Tahiyyatul Masjid. Now. بيسأل بالنسبة لسجود السهو لو الإمام قام بسجود السهو ولم يتبعه المأمومين هل صلاتهم جائزة؟ If the Imam performs sujood al-sahw and the people praying behind him do not perform it, their salah is valid, although it's diminished. Their salah is valid. The second question, السؤال الثاني بالنسبة لصلاة الفرض في أوقات في الأوقات
مكتوبة في الحديث السابق ما أدرك ركعة من الصلاة قبل أن تخرج الفرض غير لكن عذر
The Sheikh says we mentioned to you that Whoever catches a prayer with a single rak'ah before the sun dips, he has caught the prayer in its right time. If you're coming to pray Salatul Asr and it's just about to go into Maghrib, you can pray in any prohibited time because it's a part of the prayer. There is no. You are permitted to pray a part of the prayer. The part of the prayer is to be prayed at any time before the time elapses. Now, Al-Khusuf. Now, you could, the brother is asking about the prayer of the eclipse. How would you know when the eclipse finishes? It is by the shadow, because when there's an eclipse, there is darkness. Now, the fard. You pray the fard any time the fard is needed to be prayed. Doesn't matter if it's the time now. لو صليت وزدت ركعة أو نقصت منك ركعة الصلاة ولم يذكرك بها أحد وتذكرت بعد 10 دقائق ماذا تصنع؟
لا، إذا كان نقص تأتي زيادة.
نعم. The question that is being asked is, what if you are praying alone and you pray but you make a mistake by adding, and I will also say, and you make a mistake by decreasing in your salah something, and no one reminds you, and after 10 or 15 minutes you say, I think I only prayed 3 or I may have prayed 5. You're not sure on either of these two scenarios. The Shaykh says, if you have decreased in your prayer, if you were supposed to be praying 4 and you think you only prayed 3, stand up and pray that one rak'ah and make the sahut. But if you have increased in the prayer, or you think you've prayed 5 instead of 4, do not do anything. You would not be required to do sahw at all. Now,
لو جئت للصلاة وكنت منفردا وحدك لا يوجد أحد يصلي بجوارك في صلاة مكتوبة، هل تقف بجوار بجانب الإمام؟ ماذا تفعل؟ جئت للصلاة متأخرا ووجدت أنك تكون وحيدا في الصف، يعني
استطعت تقف؟
نعم. وإلا
لم تسقط الصف الفرجة لتغلقها،
نعم،
فإن لم تجد تصف خلف الصف لتكون الوقت صف جديد.
نعم.
The Shaykh says, if you come to a prayer and you will be the only one who will be beginning a line by yourself, there's no one praying beside you, if you have the ability and you know that the masjid that you are praying, the imam is well versed and that you can stand beside him, stand beside him. If not, and you feel that the imam would not know or be something that would be frowned upon by the people in the masjid, then look for any space in the lines and stand beside anyone. If that is not, then just stand and make your own line and begin a line by yourself, and that would be valid and permitted. Now,
السؤال الأول، صلاة الاستخارة في الأوقات الله.
إذا يوجد ضرورة،
نعم،
يعني إذا ألجئت إلى شيء لا تستطيع أن تكسره، أما إذا كان في الخطية فلا يجوز.
The Shaykh is saying, any prayer, the brother is asking about Salatul Istikhara, if it could be prayed in the prohibited time. The Shaykh is saying, if this is the only time that you can pray, then you can pray. Otherwise, you should not be praying at this time.
يسأل السؤال الثاني، لو كان يتوضأ وهو في وضوئه خرج أو نفي أن يكمل الوضوء ثم رجع بعد ربع ساعة هل يكمل من نفس المكان أو
لا؟ نعم. You would be required to redo the wudu from the beginning.
بالنسبة للحديث الصلاة بحضر الطعام، هل يعني أن تأكل الوجبة كاملة أو تأكل بعضها لكي تقوى على الصلاة؟
هناك فرق بين أن تكون الصلاة قائمة وبالتالي تأكل ما تدفع به شهوة الطعام، وبين أن يكون من الممكن تأجيل الصلاة، ليس تأجيلا كبيرا ولكن تأخير شيئا ما حتى تأكل طعامك وتنتهي، فلا بد من التفريق بين الصورتين.
The Sheikh answers by saying the question that is being asked in regards to the hadith of eating, that you should not pray when there is food present or when you are in need of food. The Sheikh says this is of two types. It is to be understood in two important ways. First, if the salah has already become established, you are to eat what would cause you to be satisfied that you won't be thinking about food and join the salah quickly. But if the salah has not been established and you're going to pray alone, for example, you can eat and then go and pray. So, now.
The Sheikh said either before or after. Now. هل الجلوس على الاتكاء على اليد اليسرى؟ Could you show the chef that تجلس
هكذا؟ تكون اليد مفتوحة.
نعم.
إذا كانت المغلقة جائزة.
اليد مغلقة جائزة.
نعم.
To sit in the position that the brother was displaying, if you are leaning on your palm, it is not permitted. If you are leaning on your fist, it is permitted. نعم. Just the left hand.
على اليد اليمنى.
اليسرى only. Only the left hand. Now. Now. For witr?
لو إن لم تدعو في الصلاة هل تصلي الوتر ثانية؟
لا. لا. إنما إذا نسيت الوتر.
نعم.
لا انت عمدت تركه يجوز عمدت تركه، لكن انسان نوى ان يسجد عن يوتر ونسيه هذا يجوز الترك.
نعم. If the person, if you are intending to make your witr prayer and you didn't make the final witr prayer, then you should make the sujood of sahw. Your question is if you forget to make the dua.
يسأل يقول الدعاء اللي في الوتر لو ترك الدعاء القنوت يجوز ان يترك الصلاه
ولا ترك الصلاة.
نعم.
طيب. The Sheikh is saying if you do not make the dua of witr, your salah is valid. The dua itself, your salah is valid. Your salah would not be diminished. نعم.
هل في صلاة سنة؟
نعم. ورد أربعة قبل وأربعة بعد.
You can pray four rakat before us, four rakat after us. The thing about asr is that you don't pray from when the sun is beginning to dip. نعم.
بالنسبة ذكرتم أن المرأة العورة في الصلاة وجهها هو المباح، ماذا اليد ليس العورة والقدم
والقدم عمر
من تحت يعني
من تحت في الأصل تكثر لكن ما كثر دون علمها خذوا قبض منها.
The Sheikh mentions in the woman in her prayer her face and her hands are permitted to be exposed. Her feet, the top of her feet must be covered in salah, otherwise those are the things that must be covered, everything except the hands and the feet.
تخارج الصلاة العورة
In outside salah, you do not have to cover the face or the hands. For the Muslim, the Muslim woman would not be required to cover the face and the hands. Although there is known disagreement amongst the scholars as to whether this is wajib or not to cover the face, we say that it it is not something that is compulsory, although it is what is preferred, what is best for the Muslim woman. Well, I'm trying to ask those who have been asked before. Now, any time. Nah. Yes. This is akhir su'al. Nah.
بالنسبة لل هل هذا هو السنة أو صوت الحركة؟
السنة الحركة والإصبع مستقيم والحركة خفيفة.
نعم.
وبما يتم على هذا خطا.
نعم.
لما حركة خفيفة.
The Sheikh mentioned the slight movement of the index finger. This is the sunnah of the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم. As for moving it quickly or moving it in excessive movements, this is not from the sunnah. Moving it too high up and down. You should, in the movement, in the speed of the movement, it is not something that should be excessive. So it's as the person does it. So the movement of the finger, the index finger, would be the sunnah, not moving it too far up or down. And this is where we conclude. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum.